Psalm chapter 27. The last few weeks we've talked about our journey called life. And life is more of a marathon than it is a sprint. And it can be steep at times, the climb called life. The Lord promises, thankfully, that there will be help on the journey. If we completely surrender to God, if we come to Him in surrender to His Lordship, in trust in His plans, in His details, in His timing, in His purposes, if we surrender to Him in humility, if we intentionally invite God to lead our lives, He promises to help us and, in fact, lead us in the right ways. We've talked in this series about prayer. So often we think of prayer as the needs that we bring to God. And truthfully, Scripture does teach us that we're to make our requests known to God, but also prayer, in the greatest degree, is about our will and our desires and our hearts being bent towards the things of God. For us to be molded and shaped. For us, like a thing of clay on a potter's wheel, to allow or invite the potter to shape our lives. So prayer is not just about making our requests known. Prayer is also about being bent towards the will and heart of God. We also talked about the Word and how we must build our lives around the truth. There's a lot of quote-unquote my truth in our world. There's a lot of versions of people's practices and values, but we understand that the Word of God is the truth, and we are to live by it. And we want to do that in a consistent, continual way. Following Jesus is not just about a one-time decision. Following Jesus is about an ongoing journey in this life of yielding to Him, even as we sang this morning, of yielding to Him and Him leading our lives. This is a journey. We're inviting God to lead us, and we're even especially inviting God to lead our lives in the moments of waiting. Maybe your question during this series, maybe you say, hey, you know, Pastor Chris, this is great. You tell us that God's going to help us, God's going to lead us on the journey, God will order our steps. But what do I do when I'm on the journey with Jesus and I don't feel like I'm hearing anything? What do I do when I'm on the journey with Jesus and I'm navigating the time in between, when I'm in the waiting season? I'm between the promises of God and the fulfillment of those promises. I'm between the promises of God and the change that needs to happen in order for me to know that God's really working. How do I handle this? The truth is, some of the hardest spots in life are in that middle place. I can't help but think about the resurrection of Jesus. The disciples were told on numerous occasions that Jesus would suffer, he would bleed, he would die, and he would rise again. Jesus went far enough to tell them that he would rise again. But if you can imagine being in their shoes, Friday, what made Friday good in our vocabulary was Jesus hanging on a bloody, gaudy cross. And I don't know that the disciples could see the truth of what Jesus had spoken to them really well on Saturday. We speculate what happened on Saturday. We talk about what happened on Saturday. But really, in Scripture, Saturday, that between Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, is a quiet time in Scripture. That's the hard spot. That's the moment when you know what God has said, but it hasn't happened yet. How do we handle those moments? It's easy to be confident before you find yourself in a tough season. It's easy to be confident before you find yourselves in the middle of waiting or when nothing is going wrong. Everything's good. Everything's peachy. It's in the middle when faith is really tested. Is God who He says He is? Will God do what He said He will do? The psalmist in Psalm 27 was really confident in the beginning of this psalm. Look with me, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. Why? Why is that so important? For He will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in His sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At His sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Sounds pretty confident, right? The psalmist is like, God's got this. God's faithful. Even in the midst of the enemies, even in the midst of the struggles, He's going to take care of me. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. That doesn't mean just a geographical, physical location. It means I'm going to be on this journey with God. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to delight in what He speaks into my life. And as I do that, He's going to keep me. He's going to hide me. He's going to raise me up and set me on the rock so that I am protected through all of these things. And the good news for us today is all of this is absolutely true about our God. He is faithful. Turn to your neighbor and tell him this morning, the Lord is faithful. We can all testify to that. But sometimes it's a steep climb. Sometimes we face some things. Sometimes we got to go through some stuff. Sometimes we feel like we're waiting on the Lord. We're waiting to see what's going to happen. And the truth is, wait is a dirty four-letter word. We don't like to wait. In fact, I would go a step further and say we're not conditioned to wait. Everything about our lives in Western culture pushes us to do things quicker, to get more done in a shorter amount of time. Now we have this fancy thing called AI, right? And it's going to do all these things for us. He, she, it, whatever AI is, right? What I do know about AI is it's two letters, and it stands for artificial intelligence. Some of y'all didn't catch what I just said, but anyway. There's so much going on in our world, we're not conditioned to wait. We're conditioned for the instant. I was told to be at my doctor at 9 a.m. I came 5 minutes early. I was there at 8:55 just so I could get in there in a timely fashion. Where is he at? Why is he late? Why can't they keep their business in order? It's supposed to be called fast food. I don't want to pull into stall number 7 and wait on you to bring me my order. I want you to give me my food now. That's the whole point. Come on. That's just two examples of how you honestly felt this week in your own life. Our phone gives us instant access. Our lives are geared around instant gratification. We don't like to wait. When we find ourselves in the middle of a journey between the promise and the fulfillment, we find ourselves much like what the psalmist wrestled with, because you see in the beginning, he's really, really super confident. This is who the Lord is. This is what the Lord's going to do. Even if I face things, even if I go through some attacks, even if I deal with some struggles, I'm going to be confident because God's going to take care of me. But then when you get in the middle and it doesn't feel like things are happening yet, you start to wrestle with some tensions. You can deal with fear. Well, what could happen if this happens? How could this take place if this takes place? And we begin to what if. We can deal with uncertainty. We don't know what it's going to be like. It's out of our control. How many of you, the struggle is when the decisions that affect your life aren't in control of you? You're not in control of those things, right? I'll be honest, this is kind of funny, kind of not, but every time I've had to go through a pastoral election in my life, there is nothing like standing in a hallway with your life in the hands of other people. Honest to goodness. You come to this place, you spend 1 weekend with people, and you hope that they'll like you when you move your family slap across the country. Honest to goodness, we've all been there, right? Some of those decisions, some of those things are out of our control. We can't make them happen. We can't choose what's going to take place. And with uncertainty in a lot of us, if we're honest, comes some anxiety. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling nervous. I'm tempted even to waver in my faith because I know who God says he is and I know who he's been in my life and I know what he said he will do, but I'm really not feeling it change yet. I'm really not seeing the evidence with my natural eyes right now. And at some points, it can be even to the place where we can feel desperate. Notice the wrestling of the psalmist picking up in verse 7. Hear me as I pray, O Lord, be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me, and my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Notice this next one. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation, as if it was a possibility. Even if my father and mother abandon me, even if every relationship I know abandons me, the greatest, deepest relationships I have abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. I don't know how you feel when you read Psalm 27, but for me, I see the tension of being a real human being. I'm confident in the Lord. I've seen his faithfulness. I've seen him come through many times, but what I'm facing right now doesn't feel so easy. What I'm dealing with right now, I don't feel like I've got the answers to. The season that I'm in, maybe I didn't even expect it, and I'm not sure exactly how all of this is going to turn out. I'm doing the right thing. Like we talked about last week, I'm intentionally inviting God to lead my life. Teach me, verse 11, teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path. But at the same time, it hasn't all worked out yet. The psalmist said it this way, I've still got these enemies in front of me. They're still there. They're still real. I've got these enemies, or maybe for you, it's I've got these issues going on. I've got these struggles in front of me and this tension, this wrestling taking place inside of us. And what I love about the Psalms, what I've always appreciated, is that the psalmist shows the real human side of life. How many times does the psalmist face enemies? How many times does the psalmist face attacks? How many times does the psalmist deal with some real stuff? And what it shows us is this, I can love God, and I can believe in God, and I can still have to wrestle through some of this living in the flesh that I've got going on. I'm reminded of the father who said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe in you. I believe you've saved me. I believe you've redeemed me. I believe you promise all of these things. But I recognize that somewhere in me, when I'm standing in the middle and I don't think things have worked out quite yet, when I'm standing in the middle and I'm not even sure how they're going to work out, those are in the moments. I've got to deal with some inner tensions. And if you say you've never had any inner tensions or inner wrestlings like that, then you must not be a human being, because we've all been there. So what do we do in the middle? What do we do when we're doing our best to be confident in the Lord, but we're dealing with some wrestling of what's going on in our lives? I give you two thoughts. Number one, in the middle, we must remain confident. We must keep our faith in the Lord. We don't put our faith in ourselves. We don't put our faith in the people even around us, as great as they may be. At the core of faith, faith is not just belief in, but it's confidence in who God is and what he has promised in our lives. Here's my prayer for myself, and here's my prayer for you. I want us all to be at the place in life where we don't just believe God can, but that we believe God will. I want us to be in that place of confidence, that place of strong faith, where it's not just, well, we know we can, and we know there's stories here, and we know this and that. No, but we say, I don't know how, and I may not know when, but I know my God will come through. I know he will take care of me. I know he will take care of my family. I know he will lead me on the right path. Verse 13, yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. I love this verse because here's what I heard growing up. I heard a lot about escaping this life. I heard a lot about this word rapture and being caught up to be with Jesus, and rightfully so. I mean, trust me, the older I get, the more I feel like life can have its struggles, right? The longer I live, the more I can see how people can grow weary in living this life. And so there is a longing to be in that eternal rest with Jesus, to be with him in a place that there is no stain of sin, there's no heartache, there's no struggle, where tears are wiped away and we're with him forever. But this verse doesn't say you're just going to experience good things in the fullness of eternity. This verse reminds us we will experience the goodness of God right here, right now in the land of the living. That yes, God has promised the fullness of eternity, but he's also promised to give us life and his presence and joy and peace and power and strength and help right here in the midst of this journey. That's what I need to get me through. In the middle, I can see what's in front of me, and yet I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Well, Pastor Chris, how can I be so sure? We just talked about all these tensions and all these wrestlings. How can I be so confident? How can I be so faith-filled? The truth is that in the middle, when we're between the promise and the fulfillment, we've got to do a little feeding of our faith. I like to feed myself too much junk food. Last night when Georgia played Alabama, I don't want to confess how much ice cream I ate. It's comfort food. First half especially, it was really bad. But in the middle of not knowing what's going to take place, I'm going to feed my faith. I'm going to keep pointing myself to the truth of God. Who is God? It's a question that we need to make sure we're answering on a regular basis to continue to reiterate in our lives, this is who God is. This is not just what God does, but this is who God is. And God doesn't change. Life changes, seasons change, presidents change, leaders change, things change. But God doesn't change. Then we need to be feeding our faith with what God has promised. Why? Because of who God is, we know that he never fails to keep his word. He will always do what he said he will do. That's where these first six verses where the psalmist was so confident, that's where we need to go, places like that in Scripture to feed our faith. Because he said the Lord is, repeatedly, the Lord is, the Lord is, the Lord. We need to keep saying and repeating and praying and believing the Lord is. And then we also take ourselves to Scripture and say the Lord will protect, the Lord will keep, the Lord will guide. What the reality is that all Scripture is filled with these truths. All of Scripture reiterates these truths. And so we're continuing to look to that truth. The enemy's coming against us trying to tell us lies. Did God really say, just like he did in the Garden of Eden? The world's trying to tell us how to do things. We've got all these tensions inside of us because we're not seeing it all come to pass yet. In the middle of that, we have to anchor ourselves to something. And the greatest anchor is the truth of God. Who is God and what did he promise? That's what we stand on. Even our own feelings are going to change. When we're in the middle, one day we're like, yeah, God's got this. And the next day we're like, woe is me. And the next day we're like, I don't know how this is going to come to pass. Everybody's going to get laid off at work. I mean, you can go through all of these different emotions. Even our own emotions change. But God's truth doesn't. And he doesn't. And his promises do not change. So we must feed our faith in who God is and what he promised. Secondly, in the middle, when we're between the promise and the fulfillment, we must wait on God. There's that dirty four-letter word again, to wait on God. Verse 14 in Psalm 27 says, to wait on the Lord. Be brave, be courageous, and wait on the Lord. And what I found in Scripture, all of it is important, and God seems to really want us to get the point when he repeats it. And so twice he says, I want you to wait on the Lord. Waiting sometimes can be about timing and things of that nature, but waiting can also be misunderstood in our context. Because the truth is, when we have to wait in this life, we often feel like it's a waste of time. We're sitting, we're stuck, we're not moving. We could be doing something else. I shared with first service and this service, my wife is in here, so if I get in trouble later, you'll know why. But I shared in first service, I come early on Sunday mornings to the church, and part of it is I like to have my own quiet time of reflection and prayer and reviewing my message and getting the coffee started on Sunday mornings, because we all know we need Jehovah Java. Come on, somebody. We need it. So I like to leave early. But truthfully, part of me leaving early as well is I don't like to wait. And I've got three daughters. I mean, I have a wife too, hopefully still after this service. But I have three daughters. I have three daughters, and I got to tell you, I wasn't fully prepared for what all that really means. We have it. Pray for me when you think about it. We have advanced past play makeup. We are into the real makeup. Y'all know how expensive makeup is, by the way? Just a side note. Yep, nails. Says the nail lady from the back. Yeah. I'm pretty sure my wife's got an appointment today. I'm dead serious. I can't make this stuff up. And it's not just mama wants nails. Girls want nails too now. But my point being, I get kind of antsy in the waiting. And I'm like, I need to go. I got things to do. We got to. So we drive separately. Yes, we do. Yes, we do, because we value a healthy marriage. Hallelujah. But waiting, truthfully, we misunderstand it sometimes. Waiting, truthfully, isn't wasted time or idle time. Let's define waiting, or at least give it a definition that we can sort of understand from Scripture here, hopefully. Waiting, let's define as active trust and continuing to serve the Lord while we wait. So it's not sit down, do nothing. It's active trust, and it's continuing to serve the Lord. What does it look like to have active trust in the Lord for the details of your life? It means that instead of worrying and trying to figure it out on our own, we bring it to the feet of Jesus, and we say, Lord, we don't have all the answers, but you do, so we're going to trust you. There's a verse of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5 that says that we can cast all of our cares on the Lord because He cares about us. And when we talk about that word cares, it means exactly what you think it means. It's the details of life. Whatever matters to us, whatever matters to our lives, it matters to God. He cares about what's going on internally and externally in our lives. He sees it, He knows it, He understands it, and He does care about those things. The word that I like about that verse of Scripture is that God invites us to cast our cares on Him. Now, when I was growing up, we did a lot of fishing in my family. And we would fish just about every body of water that we could find. And I don't mean like Minnesota and 10,000 or 11,000, 12,000 lakes. I'm talking about like creeks and rivers, any kind of stream of water. We were probably fishing in it, truthfully. Catfish, bass, brim, you name it, we fried it when we got done. We ate it. And I remember we would often fish with a rod and reel. When we weren't using a brim buster or cane pole, we would fish with a rod and reel. And you would take that reel and you would cast it out. The difference in fishing was that you would then reel it in. And depending on what type of bait you were using, you would reel it in and you would make that bait move to attract the certain type of fish that you were going after. This is the challenge that we have in our lives, and we're talking about active trust in God. We tend to cast our cares on Jesus, but then oftentimes when we walk away, we reel it right back in. We go right back to what if. We go right back to playing out every scenario in our lives of what we think could happen or what we think that person meant and what they said at work and all these different scenarios. We go through all of that and we reel it back in and we consume ourselves with worry. And oftentimes, I think you would agree with me, we worry about things that may never even happen. In fact, There are statistics out there, and I'm not going to quote them because a lot of statistics are made up on the spot, but I am going to tell you there are statistics out there that talk about such a large percentage of what we ponder in our minds never even happens. That's why Jesus said, when you worry, you're actually wasting your time the worst. How can you add anything to your life by worrying? Well, it's just easy for me to do. That's my personality. I'm anxious about it. I understand. But this is where we're growing to learn to trust in God. We trust that when we plant that seed in the ground, that there's growth happening. We can spend days, weeks, or months watering, making sure it gets the proper sunlight, giving it nutrients, so on and so forth. Is it wasted time? No. Because eventually what happens is that plant, that vegetable, that fruit, whatever it may be, it grows and something beautiful comes out of that waiting season. Waiting time isn't wasted time. Waiting is an opportunity for us to actively trust in God. We trust His timing. We trust His details. We trust His steps. And then there's the part of continuing to serve the Lord. When I was a junior in high school, I started working. And years later, I discovered that Amber and I had actually both worked at a Pizza Hut. Not the same one. We were in two different states growing up. But I worked at Pizza Hut and I waited tables. Now, we've changed the lingo a little bit through the years. Now we call them servers or many other things that I probably don't even know. But when I was working, I was a waiter, basically. It's a good illustration, good reminder for us of what a waiter does. A waiter serves the people at each of those tables. A waiter doesn't stop. A waiter is actually serving. A waiter keeps going. And in our waiting season, we're not stopping. We're not just sitting back and doing nothing. We're going to continue to lean into God. We're going to keep worshiping. We're going to keep being with Jesus and spending time in prayer and His Word. We're going to continue to encourage ourselves in the Lord. In the waiting, we're going to continue to be encouraged by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're actively trusting the Lord and we're continuing to serve Him and be with Him as we're in the middle of whatever it is. Scripture says, be strong and take heart. Be strong and take heart. I'm only going to be able to be strong and take heart. I'm only going to be able to be encouraged as I commit to Jesus. Because as I'm committed to the source, I will experience the supply. Think about it again. As I'm committed to the source, I will experience the supply. He will grant everything I need to make it through the journey, even when I may not feel like I see it. I can be strong in the Lord. I can be encouraged in the Lord. I'm not running to the world. I'm not running to my own way of trying to figure it all out. I'm not running even to maybe some of the people around us. They're great people. They're faith encouragers. I hope so. We should be on that journey together, motivating and encouraging one another. But ultimately, the greatest strength and the greatest help for the journey is coming from the Lord. I'm encouraged and I'm strong and I'm able to take heart and I'm able to not worry because I'm on this journey with the Lord.